Hey, this is Wilson. No Jason this week, as always. What's up, Galvis?
What's poppin', bro?
Nothing much, man. We're back with another episode of the Manosphere Message Podcast. This week's Manosphere Quote of the Week comes from the great Patrice O'Neill. It has to do with his famous king and queen analogy. I quote Patrice here, a man in his highest position helps a woman be at her highest position. A highest position woman who has a lower man can't be happy. It's nature, end quote. And so what Patrice was talking about here is, Patrice had his king and queen analogy, which was the fact that if you think about it, Prince Charles is married. And, if his mother, dies and he takes over the throne, which he is the heir to the throne, his wife, Camilla, will become the queen. So he'll be the king and Camilla will become the queen just by virtue of being married to Prince Philip, who's the heir to the throne. But if you reverse that and you look at it, Queen Elizabeth, as Patrice explained, Queen Elizabeth is the queen because her father didn't have any male heirs to the throne, right? So he didn't have any sons, right? And so she's married. She's married to Philip. But is Philip the king? No. Because in order for Philip to be the king, he would have to go over Elizabeth, who's the queen, which, of course, that's not possible because he wasn't, the offspring of Elizabeth's father. So the point is that, as Patrice said in the quote, a woman who's at her very highest position cannot elevate a man to his highest position, which is the king. But who's at his highest position can elevate a woman to her highest position, which is the queen.
Can I have you, now I know you'd use the queen analogy. Now, can I have you make another analogy in modern times? Because for the listeners out there that are listening, maybe they can't relate to the Queen of fucking England and the King of England. They're the UPS driver. Wow. So is there any way you can come up with a better analogy for someone who's just like us, average Joes, that we can't relate to that?
It doesn't matter. Any man. Let's say your wife is the CEO, or let's just use Oprah and Stedman. Right now, Oprah's Oprah, right? And Stedman, I like Stedman. Stedman is a cool dude, but Oprah's Oprah. She's a billionaire. She's the queen of this media empire, right? Mm-hmm. And so when she marries Stedman, we don't look at Stedman as being in the highest rank that a man can possibly be, right? We just look at Stedman. I don't think she's not even married, but we just look at Stedman as being Oprah's her partner,
Now, let me get this wrong, let me get this right, because I'm just trying to visualize something. Now, I don't see, for me personally, I don't see it like highest ranking or anything. I see it as, are you winning or are you losing in life, right? Because that's what really matters. Who, like Mayweather said it, I know it's kind of irrelevant, but Mayweather said it, my kids cannot eat legacy, right? So, meaning, who cares if you're the highest person you can be, all you can be? What matters is, are you winning or losing in life? And you made a point about Stedman where it's like, well, he can't be the, what did you say? If he gets married, he's still what? He won't be the highest?
He's not Stedman. We don't look at Stedman as being the highest level that a man can be.
But does it matter? Does it matter? Right? Okay. So put yourself in Stedman's position and you're married to Oprah Winfrey, one of the most powerful, richest women in the world. And you don't have to work another day of your life. You don't have to do anything. And you're just fucking living off of her money. What's the problem in that? You make it seem like it's just this big, it's such a big, I mean, 99.9% of men in this world would take that in a heartbeat. But you're making it sound like it's some kind of like degrading trait. For those of you, I'm sure you remember the Dave Chappelle sketch where he marries Oprah in the show. You remember that quote, that skit?
I don't. No.
He marries Oprah, and Oprah goes to work, and Dave comes, and she's while she's at work, Dave's painting a topless broad, and so she's like a beautiful white woman, and all he draws is a stick figure with two big circles as boobs. And Oprah comes back from work and she's like, Dave, what have you been doing all day? And he's just like, I've been working. I've been trying to whatever. Bro, that's life. All I'm trying to do is get your, like, what your mindset is and, like, acting like that's such a horrible trait to have.
Listen to me.
Bro, don't have to do shit, bro. And you can lounge and live off of your wife's money? Bro, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, forget this animal kingdom bullshit, bro. Demon is winning, bro.
Galvez, I'm trying to explain the quote here. But to finish, because you asked me for, you know, a modern, and even though the King Coon system still exists, but you asked me for like a real world.
Can't relate to it. You can't relate to it.
Right. So like I was saying, so Stedman, we can't look at Stedman as, you know, being the most respected that a man can be. But if you take that and you reverse it, think about it. Steph Curry, right? One of the greatest basketball players of all time. He marries Ayesha Curry. Just by virtue of Ayesha Curry marrying Steph Curry, she's automatically a woman that all other women look up to.
Yeah.
The same thing with LeBron's wife, Savannah. And that is the point. When a man is at his highest.
Same with Carucci, right? Same with
anytime a woman who Carucci started off as being a woman that, you know, she was just Chris Brown's girlfriend, you know. And now she's, you know, made a nice career for herself. But any woman who gets with a famous guy, a guy with, you know, a high status, a guy with money, whatever, and she marries him or whatever, she's his woman, she's automatically rises to the highest level that a woman can be. Because a man who's a king makes any woman that he's with a queen. But a woman who's a queen cannot turn a man into a king. It doesn't work that way. And the point is, as Patrice said, a highest position woman who has a lower man can't be happy. And that's how it is. A woman who's in a relationship, that's the point, is that a woman who's in a relationship with a man who's less than her, it's just as far as, like, she can make more money, she could be more famous, and he's just an average Joe or whatever, she can't really be happy like I said, I always say about Stedman, when I bring up Stedman, it's no disrespect to Stedman because Stedman is a real man. You know, the reason that Oprah is not married to Stedman is that's Stedman's decision. That's not Oprah's decision. You know, it's like Dante Nero said, what overweight black woman do you know doesn't want to be married? Of course, Oprah wants to be married to Stedman. Stedman's an alpha male, but he's just not.
He's also an idiot because he should have been got Oprah pregnant.
We can't look at Stedman the way that we look at LeBron or the way that we look at Curry.
But what does it matter though how we look at him? The dude's winning, bro.
But that's not.
How long has he been with Oprah? More or less.
I don't know. Since the '90s, you know, for a long time.
So for 30 years. The dude's been flying first class. Dude's been driving any car he wants. He can buy whatever he wants with whoever he wants. And you're bringing him down like he's some kind of a schmuck, bro.
Well, I'm not. No, I respect Stedman because Stedman is a real dude. He's successful in his own right as a businessman or whatever his career. But Oprah's Oprah, so you know he's not gonna. You know, it's hard to top Oprah. You know. So I respect Stedman. I'm just saying you can't really, but the point is not really even about Stedman. The point is about Oprah. You know, the point is that any woman who's the more, I mean, I'm not gonna say more dominant, because Stedman he's more dominant than Oprah. Like I've told the story before that Dante told about Oprah and the poodles on, you know, and that whole thing. The point is that any woman who's in a relationship with a man who's of a lower rank or a lower status, she cannot be happy. Because a woman always wants a man who's better than her. And the king and queen system, the way it was set up, it's set up to reflect nature and to reflect the fact that, and you know,
it goes back to the simple, let me put a theory out there for people to understand, because Wilson is talking about kings and queens, and we ain't never going to be no kings and queens. But what Wilson's trying to explain is, for example, a man that makes seven figures can go to Starbucks and fall in love with the barista there and make her his wife, and he's cool with it. She's cool with it. But a woman that makes seven figures a year won't even look in the way of a guy that works at Starbucks.
Right. It's nature. It's nature. Yeah. And 99% of all species, the male is more dominant than the female is. The male is bigger, the male is faster, the male is stronger, the male is greater than the female. There's only a few species where that's
the one that hunts for the food.
Yeah. And the female, I mean, and there are some species where, you know, the female, she has, you know, human beings are one of the only species where the male contributes as much as men do to the upbringing of their children, you know. And it's not 100%, of course, because there's a lot of men who don't. It's you know, socially, the more, you know, like when marriage was an institution in this country, you know, that's how you kind of socially engineer men to be in the home. But naturally, it's kind of scattershot. You know, it could go otherwise. Some guys have that gene, some guys don't. You know,
I really think that, unfortunately, the way society is built today, it can no longer be like that. For example, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, even as early as the 90s, or as late as the 90s, a family could live off of one income. You had the traditional, man goes to work, woman wakes up, makes some breakfast, makes some lunch, woman takes the kids to school, woman cleans, does chores, cooks dinner while the kids are at work, woman picks up the kids, helps them with the homework, husband come home, eat. Like, you know, that was more of a traditional thing. Nowadays, unless you're a lawyer or a doctor, you're making six figures plus, which that's in the top 1% of America. We can't live like that anymore. Two people need to work just to survive, because everything's so expensive, especially the cost of living here in LA, right? So the woman brings to the table just as much as the man does now. And so because of that, you're not seeing the traditional roles like the one I just explained, right? Like, for example, when me and my wife were living together in the apartment, she worked 8 hours, I worked 8 hours. We went half on everything: rent, bills, food, gas, everything. So, and I'm only being real. I'm not even trying to like be like Anthony Wilson, who's just like lives in a fairy tale land, right? How can I come home from work for 8 hours and see my wife come home after work 8 hours, and she's helping me with 50% of the bills, and I'm going to be like, what's for dinner? Go make me dinner. Doesn't work like that anymore. Right? So the roles, when Patrice O'Neill brought up this quote, and you're bringing up, like, in a traditional way, yes, you have every right. We don't live in that type of a world anymore. You know? But it's like, yeah. all the roles are upside down now.
But if the roles are upside down, then the woman won't be happy. A woman, and that's the point. He said a highest position woman who has a lower man can't be happy. So it can be, you know, if the woman makes more money and she's the breadwinner, or if it's, it could be 50-50. Women don't like 50-50 either. What a woman really likes and when she's most happy and feels most like a woman is when she's with a man who can provide and protect, and anything that she contributes is extra. It's not really necessary.
It's just a plus.
Yeah, but women don't really like to be dependent on
it. But it doesn't work like that anymore. It doesn't, dude. It really, it's very rare. I know a lot of people where it just so happens that the woman makes more money because she's been at the company longer, because she just happens to have a higher position. It's just, that's just the nature of today's society, bro. It doesn't work like that anymore. Now, are you married, sir?
Of course not, Calvis. You know I'm not married.
Are you currently with the female right now?
You know.
So the reason I'm asking this is because it's easy for you to think a certain way and read a certain way, but until you've actually until you're going through it, it's really tough. Because like I say, if you have been with a woman for at least 5 years, and you guys live together or you guys pay bills together, you know that it just doesn't work like that anymore, bro. Especially in LA. It's impossible. It's impossible, bro. And
this is one of those episodes where Galvis shows his true colors. What's the matter with you, man?
Because I'm sure the other men that are listening to this that are married, they know what I'm talking about. Dude, we don't live in a society like that anymore. Where, like I was talking earlier, when the husband goes to work, the woman stays home and takes care of the kids in the house. It doesn't work like that anymore. And women nowadays, and I'm only telling you this through experience, women nowadays are bringing just as much to the table as men are.
As far as a relationship goes?
Financially. And because they're bringing just as much in, as I'm saying, the woman is no longer at home to take care of the kids and cook dinner and take care of the house. Because she's at home working just like the husband is. You know? And so, now, a man, right? And we said this before, right? In the Hispanic community, right? I don't know about black, I don't know about white, I don't know about Asian. All I know is Hispanic. The woman that stays home and cooks and cleans and takes care of the house is no longer, bro. These modern women, they might cook you a meal every now and then. And then most likely that shit is probably frozen and they put it in the oven. They're doing takeout, bro. It's no longer because they're working just as much as men are.
Well, I mean, the point is really, I mean, like, even though I think, you know, that's what a woman should do is stay home and just be traditional.
The cost of living. You don't think I would love or ask any male that's married, has a family, he would love to go to work and have his wife stay home and take care of the kids and take care of the house. And, you know, he gives her, you know, they share a debit card and whatever she needs, she can buy it. Bro, when a house payment on a basic ass house is almost $3,500 a month, bro, or $3,000, just the mortgage. How the fuck can you just say, all right, I'm gonna work and the wifey stays home?
But what I was gonna say is that, you know, back to the animal thing, you know, like I said, in most in most animals, in most species, the female does pretty much, the female does all the parenting. All the male contributes is the sperm during the act of copulation. So there are a lot of, solitary, animals, if you think of tigers, a female tiger, leopard, a cheetah, whatever. You know, she doesn't have the male to help her out. She has to raise the young on her own, and she has to hunt and do all that stuff. So she's fierce, but the point is she's still not as fierce as her male counterpart. You know, the male version of whatever the animal is still the bigger, stronger, faster, animal. But, I just think, no matter how realistic it is, I know women are never going to go back to just being in the home again. The point is that's when that's the natural order of things in the way that it were. And, even if the woman, she works and she does whatever, it has to be a situation where it's understood the male is the head of the household.
Yeah,
and it used to be like that.
It used to be like that because if you were the male and you were the only one working, you can make 99% of the decisions financially, right? No, we ain't gonna buy this. Yes, we are gonna buy this. No, not yet. Yes, let's do it right now. But if a woman is bringing in just as much as the male, it's gonna be a clash, bro. And if you tell your wife, well, nah, we shouldn't buy this, she's going to say, well, I have my own money, and I'm going to do it anyways. So you might as well just agree with the bitch and just say, all right, fine, because she's going to do it anyways, because she's bringing in her own money. And that's what, unfortunately, due to the new roles, it just doesn't work that way anymore. And real quick, before we move on to our next topic, I just hate, to me personally, when you and other people try to, relate our problems to animals. Because at the end of the day, we're not fucking animals.
We are,
but we're not, right? We're not instinctual human beings. We have instinctual moments. No, because a dog, if he sees a cat, he can just run to it and he just acts off an instinct, I need to go catch that cat. If you see a guy walking down the street, you can tell yourself, whatever. He's nothing. You can choose not to attack him. You can choose it. It's not like your brain just automatically. It's not like, for example, if you see a girl walking by and she has a nice ass, that's instinctual to check him out. But to go attack another male is not instinctual. You have a choice. And so, or when they say, we're hunter-gatherers. 200,000 years ago, we used to be hunter-gatherers, but we're not anymore, right? We go to the fucking supermarket to go buy food. We don't hunt for our shit anymore, right? And we're trying to relate to human beings 200,000 years ago, when bitches from 30 years ago are completely different from now. So how the fuck can we relate to something 200,000 years ago? I get it. Like, certain characteristics we're still wired the same. Certain characteristics. But you guys, all you and Patrice O'Neill and these other red pillars, like, it's like you guys still think that society works the same way. Bro. How long ago will you say that women were afraid of men in terms of being unfaithful?
Always.
Not anymore, though, right? There you go.
Huh?
See what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
Not anymore, though. So their mindsets are different. That's what I'm saying. You can't compare.
Women still worry about men being unfaithful.
No. How long ago was it that women were scared to be unfaithful?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, they're not.
These bitches are opening their legs to everybody, bro. So how can you compare the woman who as early as 50, 100, 150 years ago, they'd be publicly humiliated and beaten and maybe even killed for being unfaithful. And then now you got bitches opening their legs to just about everybody. And they're actually promoting that shit in music and on social media. And but you want to compare something 200,000 years ago when we probably didn't, we weren't even humans like we are, like we've evolved into today.
Godless.
I'm telling you, bro.
There's a saying in evolutionary psychology that the human skull houses a Stone Age mind. And research has shown that the human brain has not changed in about 50,000 years. So the actual makeup, the brain chemistry of the human brain has been the same for about 50,000 years. So and you know, our instincts are the bedrock for everything that we do. Yes, we're cognitive creatures. We have the largest brains by far. We're the greatest and most intelligent creatures that have ever lived. But beneath that are the same instincts that allowed us to survive and reproduce so that we can survive as a species, 200,000 years ago in the African society.
I get it. Like all that stuff. I get it, bro. I get it. But the way women think is different now. It's just completely different than 50. Women think different.
But that's a societal thing. Their brain hasn't changed, women's brain. It's just a society, basically, it opened up the floodgates for women to be what they really are. You know? So, I don't know, but you're like grumpy today. You're going against the red pill hard.
But, you know, I just don't want to give our listeners these false, you know, narratives or these false views.
That's what they listen to this for, is to hear the exactly what I'm saying.
but it's you're living in a fantasy world, right? Like, and I've always said this, and I will stand by this till the day I fucking die. Patrice O'Neal talks a big game because he had money. He wasn't rich. He wasn't Dave Chappelle. He wasn't Eddie Murphy. But he had money, and he was known, and he was a celebrity. And he, like, all the women he talks about, right? Mm-hmm. If he was Patrice O'Neal, the fat fuck he was, the UPS driver who made barely above minimum wage, the women that he claims to have banged, he would have never got any of that had he been a UPS driver or a FedEx driver or a Walmart stock boy.
Stop being a better male, Galvis.
No.
All right. We were going to talk about a little bit about you know, the NFL, at the end here, because nobody listens to the NFL podcast, the football podcast we have. So, you know, we might as well just talk about it on here. I didn't go at SoFi Stadium. They played their first. That was the first game at SoFi Stadium. You know, of course, it's still just the preseason. It was the Rams and the Chargers. I was over there yesterday. The game was on Saturday. I was over there yesterday in Inglewood, and I drove by, and I saw the stadium. I saw they have an NFL office there. That's right next to it. So, you know, this is a being Galvis was talking about off air. He was saying, you know, it's an NFL town now, right, Galvis?
Yeah, we finally got even when the Rams and the Raiders were here in the 80s, they played at the Colo, so it was like really outdated. And I mean, maybe in the 80s it was somewhat okay, but you know, now we finally got a modern stadium. We finally got a tailgating experience. We're not, that's where the Super Bowl is going to be held. That's where WrestleMania, Final Fours, huge concerts, you know, so it's starting to feel like a NFL town now. But one thing I wanted to say was I think the problem with the Chargers, what they ran into was people, especially our age, right, our generation, that when we started to like sports, we didn't have an NFL team. So we all kind of just, you know, gravitated towards other teams. And so what the Chargers should have done, real quick, a quick story. I don't know if you heard, in the MLS, there was Chivas USA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chivas USA is the second biggest team in Mexico. And so they had like a USA team, like a USA-based team. And at first, they were okay, and then it was just trash. Because the reason why Chivas is so popular in Mexico is they can only play Mexican-born players. If you're a foreigner, you cannot play on that team. So when they were playing on the MLS, they were just bringing in all kinds of different players. They didn't stick to tradition. So what happened? The team just completely fell apart. Fast forward a few years later, LAFC is born. New team, new stadium, new colors, completely new identity, and it just takes off, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Chargers should have done. Keep the Chargers in San Diego for if they ever build a stadium and what is this? The Sparanos? What are they called? The family that owns the Chargers?
The Spanos.
The Spanos. The Spanos, yeah. They should have just started a team from scratch. A new, like a expansion team. And try to get these kids that are like 12, 13, and 14 and build a new tradition, new colors, new mascot, new everything. Because to be honest with you, bro, I don't see this ever being Chargers town or even half. It might not even be a Rams town, bro. It's going to take a few generations for this to officially become a Rams city.
Yeah,
I think that's where the Chargers messed up.
Yeah, it's
they couldn't even sell out the Galaxy Stadium that only holds 27,000 fans. They couldn't even sell out that stadium.
Well, you know, the truth is that this is a Raiders town. You know, yeah. And it always has been. You know,
this is more of a Raiders and a 49ers town than it is a Rams.
Yeah, you know, the Rams, we like the Rams. Nobody really cares about the Chargers. You know, we kind of adopt the Rams because, you know, if you have to choose, you know, the Rams were, I'm not sure, I don't, but this is the first time the Chargers have been in LA, right? And, you know, I mean, the Rams have been here before, so it's different. But, you know, this is a city that has always longed for this whole state, really, LA and Oakland. Football in LA is USC and Raiders. That's who the popular football teams are in this city. And now, you know, the Raiders are all the way. I mean, it's not that far, but the Raiders aren't even in California anymore. They're in Vegas, you know.
Which is actually closer than San Francisco, though.
Vegas is closer to LA. Than San Francisco is. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Driving to Oakland is about 7 hours. Driving to Vegas is about 3.5-4 hours. And right. People would much rather go to Vegas because you can stay on the strip, you can stay at the hotel. You know, it's more of a trip. So if anything, the Raiders probably are better now. I mean, if they couldn't come to LA, then Vegas was their next best option.
Yeah, but the feel of it is not going to be the same, though. I mean, yeah. all the guys, all the people from LA and Oakland are still going to be the ones going out there to the game.
It's going to be people from here going to those games. It's not really going to be the local fan base.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's crazy. Like, you know what so sucks about, I was going to be controversial, but you just said it, right? Dodgers and Raiders. And what's the stereotype for those type of fans?
Cholos.
Oh, that's racist, but okay.
That's what you would say.
I would say hardworking people. Great citizens, how hardworking people. Yep. Family friendly.
Come on, man. Huh. You're gonna set me up like that and leave me hanging out to dry?
but you know, it's just I was at the hotel when I was working at the hotel. Our company ran the parking lot of the Raiders, the Coliseum. So they're involved in a lot of the meetings. Like, okay, if we bring the Raiders, this is going to be a sellout every game. Do we have enough staff? Do we have enough parking to accommodate? And from what I heard was the LAPD and the mayor, they just did not want the Raiders in L.A. It was just going to be, I mean, we saw the fight that happened between the Chargers and the Rams at the new stadium. Can you imagine if there were Raider fans involved? You know? Oh,
that's funny, bro. I mean, it was so bad when they were here and so bad up in Oakland that it's like, we can't have them back here. Sorry.
Now, don't quote me, right? Don't quote me. But that's really what I heard from my parking company. That it was just going to be a clusterfuck of people between the fan base, you know? And so, because it wasn't going to be great. It wasn't be good. It wasn't going to be good for the city of LA. I mean, and especially, think about it. For how many years did the Rams play in the Coliseum? 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
While the stadium was being built. Can you imagine what would have happened for those 2 years with Raider fans in South Central, bro?
But that's us, baby. That's LA. That's LA, though.
The city just didn't want to deal with it. The city didn't want to deal with it. Like, did you ever think why the Raiders didn't come to LA?
No, I had never considered that.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, our company used to run the parking at the Coliseum. And like I said, they were heavily involved in those meetings. Because they're the ones, since they run the parking, they're the ones that know the type of crowds that show up. They're the ones that know the type of, like, traffic-wise. And, you know, are we going to have... Because they knew it was going to be a sellout every fucking game. Even if the Raiders were 0-16, it was going to be a sellout every game. And so they were heavily involved in these meetings, and you know, the city just didn't want to deal with that, bro. They didn't want blood on their hands. And if you're a Raider fan, are you really a good person? You know, probably not.
Not exactly.
You know. Probably not. If I saw a group of Raider fans on the street corner, I would go the other way, bro.
Those all bunch of people, a bunch of Hispanics and black, and it's not just Hispanics, all blacks too.
You would have had 2 years of the Raiders in the Coliseum, bro. Can you imagine what Hoover and Vernon would have looked like? or Vermont and King Boulevard? Hell nah, bro. Eric Garcetti in the meetings was probably like, "You got me fucked up, bro. There ain't no Raiders coming." Hell nah.
Oh man, we're down there in Vegas. It just doesn't. It's not quite the same, you know. It's just not the same. I mean, even though it's gonna be the same people, it's the name. It should always be either LA, the Los Angeles Raiders, or the Oakland Raiders. It shouldn't be the Las Vegas Raiders, you know. But you know, things change, man. You gotta, you know, the brand is so strong that, you know, and like I said, it's the same people who, you know, who are gonna be at the games, and you know. So,
yeah, man, like, bro, it's so bad, man. It's so bad. It's just a ghetto. There's no other way to put it. Like, unless you live in LA, then you know what we're talking about. Where you'll get killed, bro. Like, LA's the only city I could think of that if you wear the wrong hat, you're done. You know, every block has a hat and what it means and whatnot. But, yeah, man.
All right, so before we get out of here, just a reminder to rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. The show is also on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and every other major podcatcher. Make sure to follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at TC Pod Network and to like it on Facebook. Just search for the Complete Podcast Network. Send feedback and mailbag questions to manage to your message at gmail.com. We are out.